of the true soulmates. I need a pen. I gotta write this down. That stuff is gold. That'll give me a whole Sunday of football.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, right? So maybe you'll get. Maybe you're not feeling well today. Okay, so good. Make sure you take some photos outside that door. There's Valentine backdrop, beautiful, and they'll take your photo, I believe, today, free. It's good to see the people in the house of the Lord. If you weren't able to greet one another as much, you can do that maybe at the end of service. Let's make sure let's welcome our first-time guest. Make sure you fill out a Connect card, get a free gift at the Welcome Center. It'd be an honor to shake your hand. Bible college friend that became friends on Facebook with me a few years ago, but we went to Bible college, man, 33 years ago. He had to remind me how young I was. Lawrence So is on the front row with me, and I'm so grateful. He made a way to come today. He's in town just for a special thing that he's doing, he and his wife, at a convention, so to speak, and I'm just so grateful for Lawrence being here. He'll tell you all the stories that I tell about Bible College are true, right, Lawrence? And he's a blessing to me. I'll let him greet you at the end of our message and pray for our service and pray for us today. Amen. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we go and grow and gather. I have a couple of things to tell you about. I guess they're going to go up. Would you check in on your social media device if you could? Just let them know there's a locator right there. It'll say Living Faith Church, and you can do that on a couple of outlets of social media. Say something of faith today. Also, I just want to thank people. This past week has been one of those weeks that we've worked real hard for the Lord, and God's done great things, so thank you, thank you. Our outreach not only served 500 young people in John Jay this past Wednesday, and they did it under the direction of Helen Scholl. If she's here, give her a hand. You usually sit over there and freak me out. There you are. It's good not to get, you know how some people say, this is my chair. Nobody's going to sit in it, amen? But Helen switched it over, amen? So just thank you for your leadership. You brought a whole bunch of people together, and we were able to work, about 30 of you, and we served, amen, one of the best ones yet. And then that night, about 300 kisses were made with Hershey Kisses with little invitations that say, Happy Valentine's Day, God loves you, we love you, and a kiss. Well, that was all done by the hands of me and Juan. They were able to put those blue dots on Hershey Kisses. We handed all of them out at different population centers in our community and loved on people. And so those were given out Wednesday night. So we were busy on Wednesday, but it was a good busy. Praise God, right, everybody? And then finally, the five love languages, our small group that meets on Fridays for our marriage just to get stronger. Well, we graduated, amen? Now we know all the love languages. But Alex and Lisa Copeland led that. Exceptional job. Just want to thank Alex and Lisa for teaching and sharing with us. And then a great meal was served at the end of it, like a graduation meal. We had a great time on Friday night. Bless them also. Thank God. There's never a Sunday that I don't drive up, or during the week, that I don't drive up onto the property, as humble as it looks sometimes, that I thank God, that I don't say, God, you've been so good to us. God, look what the amazing thing. And the buildings are great, but you know what's better? The people. Amen. You. And I thank God for it. So you're a blessing to Irma and I. We just bless you. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Thank you, God. Finally, another slide that was going to go up, and I know that I messed it up. I broke it. They need to tell me how to fix it. But family worship will be next week. There it goes. It's going to freeze. Okay, family worship will be next week. That's when our children are going to gather with us during the worship time. And they'll come forward for the number 624 blessing. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Lord, make his face, and we'll lay hands on our children, bless them, thank God for the eldership of this church, and then we'll take communion together as a family. We haven't done that in a while, but I wanted to bring it back. We had great ideas, amen, from one of the great leaders, and I said, let's go ahead and implement that and do that, and we're going to do that next Wednesday. Make sure that you come with your children, no matter how old they are. They'll be blessed if they want to be blessed, right, everybody? We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and
grow.
So let's welcome live the Facebook audience. Come on, give them a big hand. Do you have your message notes? You're going to need them handy, amen. If you don't, raise your hand and we'll get an usher to give you those right now. They're ready to go. 100%. Go ahead and take one. If you don't have one, it's okay. I want you to see the scriptures. I want you to walk. I'll take notes, Pastor. That's okay. Go ahead and take it because they have the scriptures on there and you'll love them, okay? Yeah, 100%. I guess we're 100%, guys. You're on break today, amen. Tell your neighbor right now, God. Oh, we got a brother right there on the front row. Tell your neighbor right now, God has you and God will hold you. Now tell that second choice you don't want to talk to, but you're going to talk to anyway. He may look a little bit weird. She may look weird, but you're going to talk to him. Say, God needs to have you and God needs to hold you, bro, or God, sister, whatever it might be. Too many things, amen. You're going to talk back to me even when you're not supposed to. That's okay, amen. How many we navigate, for better or for worse, in our relationship series part two today? Ups and downs. But we need to declare today that Jesus is bigger than any of the problems that we're facing in marriage. He really is. He's going to be much bigger, amen. We just need to make him much bigger than that problem and say, problem, look at Jesus now. We're going to stay together for better or for worse, to have or to hold today. I want you to hold on to some things today, especially each other. I want you to have some things in your life today. And so we have the wrong idea at times about promises. See, promises are made sometimes in the heat of a feeling, like I love you because you feel like it. In year 29 of a marriage, in year 30 of a marriage, or 50 of a marriage, you're going to have more than a feeling. You're going to have that thing called endurance, or this thing of beyond love. You're going to have some faith and principles in your life. Feelings come and go, but God's word doesn't. Right, everybody? God's commitment in your heart will never grow cold today like our cold. So God makes this thing called covenant towards us, and it's a commitment towards us that's always better than what you would give him, because he's so much more better today. And so he's bigger. And so whether you feel it or not, God's not a feeling God. He just says, you know what? I have this faith and covenant in you that you're going to make it. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to be your rescue story. Right, everybody? That's the sort of God. And so God wants to bring that into our lives as we become people of promise. And that when we make promises, they're not based on the feeling right at the altar, or right when we're dating, or right when we're seeing each other fresh. That we send a promise ahead. We send it ahead of time in the future, because we're going to need to come back to that promise and say, no, I made a covenant there before God and man, and I'm not going anywhere, right, everybody? Now, again, if somebody's beating you, if somebody's abandoning you and that sort of thing, then that's another story. But if you're arguing because the beans got burned again, or you're arguing about maybe she doesn't like the way you dress today.
Buddy, this day, amen. That's another story. You got to endure some things, right, everybody? And so last week we discussed the principle, the building of I promise, and that was Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, they leave, they cleave, and then they become one. And we spoke about that. If you need to go back and look at that. It's on Facebook or go to our website. I'm so thankful we do relationships and we're not lost about them. How we can see Jesus and how he lived. God could have sent us a bunch of paperwork or dropped something and said, you know what, this is how you do relationships. Read all about it. Here's the how-to manual. But he sent a living testament. His name was Jesus, on how he acted towards people when they were mean and abusive. How people betrayed him, and yet how he responded. How people hurt him in relationships. How he kept coming after them to restore them. He did it the right way. Well, I'm not Jesus. And if Jesus was married, he'd know how I'm feeling and all that stuff. Of course you're not. And none of us are perfect like Jesus. But we have God within us, the Holy Spirit that's deposited. The Bible says greater works that you shall do than I do. Part of it, I believe, is restoration, redemption, and relationships. Right, everybody? And so if you have Jesus, you can do this thing today. Amen. I want you to build your life not on a feeling, but build it on faith principles. Because principles won't go away. They're our directors. So there are three promises that I have for you in your handout today to help us be more like Jesus on how he did relationships and how we can do our relationships. Promise number one, say this with me. I promise to respond, not to react. and I need this one big time. I wrote this just for me. Because I react big. I'll cut you. Amen. I'll put a horse head in your bed. Amen. I'll Godfather you. Amen. You broke my heart, Fredo. You broke my heart. Amen. As I dance with you even. Amen. But see, social media has a way that we can cut people pretty quick. And we become this reactionary culture that reacts pretty quick because we're behind a keyboard. We don't have these face-to-face relationships anymore that we get to see each other and pray with each other and look eyeball to eyeball with each other. And not that it can't be used, because I just told you to check in on it, but we have to keep a proper perspective about social media. Do you understand that today? Amen. You can send me a bunch of stuff. I mean, that you hate me, just like I could send you stuff, but where is that going to get us today? So I want you to think before you post that one that's in anger or you weren't going to respond to. Twitter has this way, which I love. When you tweet, you don't have to put a bunch of things up. It only gives you like 150 words, and then it cuts you off. Facebook, on the other hand, it's like, you ever get those Facebook things and go, excuse me, but this is going to be a long post. And you begin to read it, and you go, man, you had me at the first paragraph. Why do you keep going? And it's really long. And it's usually a lady, because they can't say anything in 150 words. Give me a good amen. You know you can't. Yeah. Irma, this is a hostile crowd. Oh, go start the car, amen. And that's why Facebook is for you. And that's why I love Twitter. Give me a good amen. Because you can communicate. And so I took something that I found, the top four tweets that were during this Valentine's season. This is the first one. And they were the most popular. Crockett TM, Crockett for real, at Crockett for real. He says, in the 35 years I've been on this planet, there's one thing that I'm going to pass on to you fellas. And I think they kind of live with a, she can eat your fries, but you cannot eat her. Is that, have you ever been to a place like that? Give me a good amen. Or they go like this, I'm not going to order any fries because I'm going to share yours. No, you're not. These are waffle fries. These are Chick-fil-A fries. You need to get your own, girlfriend. Give me a good amen. I have the money. I'll buy you fries. Give me a good. The next one is this. This is Exploding Unicorn. This is when you're getting ready to go out. And I think they were at the novice house. And the wife says, what are you wearing? Hey, this. And she's blank, nothing. And I go, not this. And she goes, good guess. That's funny, isn't it? I don't care what you... The third one is this one. It says, Mary Justice 86. Due to personal reason, I'll be flushing the toilet every time my husband gets into the shower this week. They must have something going on, right? The last one is this one. Sarcastic mommy at 4, at sarcastic. Wedding vows should be updated to include, do you promise to love, cherish, even when he swears he can't find something and it's right in front of his face? It's true, man. I was looking for my glasses one day, and they were like right here on my like vest or something, my sweater. I go, where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? And they're right there. You don't see them? So I know you're not like us, are you? Amen. And we react to situations, and the Bible says, hey, be slow to speak. Right. Think about what you're going to post. Think about what you're going to comment. Think about what you're going to say before you put it out there for the whole world to see, especially. And so it's not godly to say the first thing out of your mouth if it's not something in love or truthful or right or holy. Our goal is not really just to, I'm going to follow Jesus. Yeah, that's good. But you know what the goal is? To become like Jesus. That's why cousin John the Baptist, so close to Jesus, one day he said, you know what? I got a decrease on this thing, and Jesus needs to blow up. He needs to increase in me today. He needs to just get bigger today. Peter, the apostles and the disciples, they all saw Jesus at his moments that he was challenged, and at his moments that he could have struck back, and his moments he could have chopped off someone's ear, and his moments he could have reacted. You know, they said, you know, when we saw Jesus, Peter wrote, I didn't see him retaliate. They say in one of the Gospels, when the nails were going into his hands and his feet, that Jesus never cried out and said, ouch, not even that. If it would have been Nava, I would have said, look what I'm doing for all of y'all. Look how you've hurt me. And it hurts me. And I said, you better come to the cross. Now, Jesus didn't do any of that. He just kept loving. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, on how he trusted his heavenly Father in his most painful situations. And he got it onto the Apostle Paul about anything that you'll ever face hurtful. This is what Paul, the Apostle, said this. He said, do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Yeah. Before I was married, like in my 20s, you know, I was just like this single guy, happy-go-lucky. And, you know, Lawrence knows me in Bible college. Don't tell him that story, Lawrence. Amen. Just, you know, I was, you know, hey, spirit-filled guy, loving Jesus. And then I got married. And, you know, I remember that one of our first big arguments, I cannot believe the things that came out of my mouth. I was even surprised. I said, did you say that to her? And oh, look at you religious people in this room. Marriage has this way of refining you or bringing heaven or hell, not heaven to earth, where you say, you know what? God knew that when we would be married, it would be the greatest thing that we could do to become more like Jesus and to forgive and to walk even in the middle of trouble and say, we're going to stay together. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to redeem you today. Amen? Amen. I know ugly things have come out of your mouth in the middle of conflict, but in the middle of conflict, you can change the atmosphere in your marriage when you choose to bless, not curse. When you choose to say something. In the middle of the atmosphere at work, when everyone else is coming against the boss, you change the atmosphere. He may be that, but you don't speak or you say the truth in love today. We need to pray for the man. We need to pray for our company. We need to pray for our children. Amen. They're going to do better. We believe in them. Right, everybody? Amen. Let's not get on the bandwagon with the world. The second principle is this. I promise to focus in on the good, not the what? Bad. Boy, how many of us keep records of wrongs? We're good at that. Like, I got this against you, I got this against you, I got this. And we recite them when we bring that pain back to our hearts and we just bring them over and over again. Irma had to remind me just yesterday, said, you know, let's not talk about that. She straightened me out in that moment. She said, you know what, we can just leave that where it belongs. Amen. Let's choose to bless today. I'm so glad God didn't make us clones. Yeah, he didn't. He each one of us is different. Just look at yourself today. Look at the other person. They're different. But that's a tribute to God's creativity. Amen? We love our neighbors as ourselves. We have to accept them as others, God's creations. Everybody in this room. This is a series about relationships that we're doing for the next few weeks. So those that are married today, I'm going to take a poll right now. So let's go ahead and take a poll. Be honest before God. How many of you that are married somebody that's opposite from you? Raise your hands high. Amen. Amen. You can put them down now. We're not going to be liars in church, right, everybody? Irma and I are opposites, man. And she wants it in the house warm when I want it cold. And so the AC goes up to 90 and the rest of us are suffering, but she wants it warm. And I'm dying. When I want it cold, you know, vice versa, it's like that. Irma takes her time because God made her that way. She's just whimsical, you know, just going along. Okay, sarah, sarah. And I'm this brother that's always in a hurry. I want to get it done. I got 3 points. Boom, boom, boom. Let's get it done. By the way, I got permission to do this. Is that cool? Because some of y'all are nervous. Yeah. And so I'm in a hurry, you know, and she's not. And it's just like, you know, it's the way it is, bro. I'm going to have to wait for her. It's honor to wait for her, right? I don't like it. She doesn't like that I'm in a hurry, but that's the way it is. She has to stop at the store and see everything. I want to go on. I want to move on. Why are they closing that store, babe? I don't know, because you can shop online and get it quicker, a click of a button, you know, but things are changing. My girl, man, she's a morning girl. She loves the mornings. Good morning. And I'm like, man, I'm a night guy. And I don't like to hear good morning that early. Give me a good, I don't drink coffee, but maybe I need to. Amen. I know none of y'all are like me. Amen. But when she likes to spend, I don't. When I want to spend, she doesn't. I don't know what happens in that area of the universe, but you know, maybe at restaurants, when we go to restaurants, you know, I got it all. I got Yelp on my thing. I look at the restaurant rating. I know what I'm going to want. I know, hey, that dish looks good. I'm going to get that. So I'm ready to go. I'm at the restaurant. I'm ready to go. Well, she's opening up the menu and looking at it, and the waiter comes. I'm hungry, okay? And she's looking at it. What do you want? And I go, well, I know what I want, but what do you want? The waiter goes, ma'am, can I take your order? She goes, you go first. Oh, also, code word, guys, is like this. Hey, where do you want to go eat today? I don't know, you pick. And you know what that is? That's code, like, you can pick, but I'm still going to not want to go there. Let's go to Bill Miller's. I know, but I'm that way. I was born straight up Mexican. I want Bill Miller's. And she goes, I had barbecue this week. I had Bill Miller's this week. Okay, why don't you pick? I don't want to pick. You know, so after 29 years of marriage, I know that she wants to move at her pace, and she knows Nava wants to move at his pace. But that's what marriage is. It's a journey. And so I'm not going to look at the differences like, man, I hate that difference in her and get all mad. I'm going to look at the differences like, well, why don't I concentrate on what's right? Amen. And I told you all the things that were, but if I took a record on all the good things that God has done in her life and through us and for us, I could tell you this. Irma's a woman of prayer. Amen. Irma loves Jesus. Irma's not only devoted to the Lord, but she's devoted to us as a family, our children. She loves Andrew and Rebecca. She's devoted to me. She loves me. She prays for me. Man, where can I get that in the world? Where else can I get that? She's made a wonderful home for us. She's turned this place that I would have made into this barrack dorm room, and she made it into something lovely and beautiful for my life today. She works real hard. She has a job, just like many of us in this room. We're a two-income family all these years. And she works hard, and she's been a blessing to me. Amen? Amen? And if I concentrate on that, that's biblical. And not look at all the wrongs and the things that separate us. And we bless and we choose to do those things that are a blessing. That's why Philippians 4:8, when Paul wrote to the Philippi church, he said, finally, brothers, because I think he was speaking to this brother, finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is what? If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, this is what you're going to think on. Not think on the wrong today, amen? And we love to love what we love. And I hate that in my boss. I hate that in my marriage. I hate that in... What if you chose to bless those things that... There's something right with somebody, amen? You can name one thing right even in your boss's life that you're thankful for, right, everybody? Right. And change the atmosphere. I promise to focus in on the good, not the bad. The third principle is this. I promise to talk, not to... Wow. The greatest example of love is to simply notice people and pay attention to them. And so when it's tough, you don't run away, you run towards them. Confident marriages are this. I'm not going anywhere. When it gets tough... Now, if there's beatings going on, if there's abuse going on, if the police are always coming over, that's another story. But if there's something of conflict and you're even, what makes it confident is, you know what, I'm not going to leave. The D word is not going to be used in our marriage. The D word, no, not that D word, divorce, okay? Because you aren't thinking of the other word, amen? You're not going to use that D word in marriage today. Michael and Comfort Montgomery are sitting on the front row with us today, and I thank God for them. A few years ago, Mike and Comfort were married. And I remember that Comfort came and she said, Pastor, I noticed that there's not an ongoing prayer meeting in this church. And she could have looked at it like, this church is so wrong, this church isn't right, and I'm going to make a list of all the wrong things that are... But she chose not to. She chose to talk about it, not to walk away. And she began a small group of the prayer warriors, the intercessors. Many have gone to that on Monday nights. It happens at 6. And you can be part of that. It's in the Student Center. And she leads people in prayer now. She prays over the church. She prays over us. She thanked God for her ministry. It's gone on, and God's blessed that ministry of a small group of prayer. And men and women pray every Monday night. A couple of weeks ago, she came and she said, "Pastor, I got a word of encouragement for you." And she said, "You know what? When there's something wrong, would you let the people of God know within this church that it's not time to walk? It's not time to walk away. It's time to talk." And she says, when there's a lack in this church, maybe they're supposed to be the answer because they're seeing it. And so we've gotten to this restaurant culture sometimes even when we come to a church, and it's a place of covenant. The church is a living body, not a restaurant. Well, they didn't serve me appetizers in that church. I mean, in that restaurant. The food was cold. Yes, don't go back to that restaurant. But if you come to this church and they don't have something that you want, maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe God is speaking to you for you to cook it up. You see, you're the miracle that's supposed to happen. Give me a good amen. Amen. Let me just pause there a little bit and dig it in a little bit more. Amen. Because we're going to get it out. Amen. We'll put the Neosporin in a moment right now, in a Band-Aid. There's a precious couple, and Steve and Elaine, they watch us from Florida. They used to come years ago when we were in the student center. They retired in Sarasota, Florida. And they're one of our number one supporters that watch us on Facebook. They tie to this church because they're shut in now, and this is their church. They watch it on Sunday morning. Well, yesterday they sent me this video, and it's Elaine putting Easter eggs together, and they're going to ship it to us because they know Easter's coming. And I need to probably not say so much because somebody can be looking for the package, right? They're filling it with goodies and that sort of thing. And they said, "Pastor, we just want..." And it was so tough. I shared it with Irma, and I said, "Look, maybe I'll show it to you on the announcements or something next week if we can get it in there. Sophia V does a great job on putting everything together. Maybe we can do that." So you can see their act of love. They know even far away that there's a need in this church in Florida. And they're making it happen for us. And I, again, this isn't anyone... You're in this house with me today. Amen. But if you're on the edges of saying, "You know what, this isn't happening, this is..." Why don't you become the answer? Why don't you do something? Amen? Those little issues that become... The greatest arguments that Irma and I have had in the history of our marriage, they started out at little weeds, little things. Little things. Dinner wasn't cooked on time, or that didn't happen. Little things, stupid things. And they've blown up. Am I the only Episcopalian minister in this room today? And they blow, and they got larger and bigger. And now there's a big oak tree with roots that have gone down. And these little issues that could have been yanked up, like the Bible tells us, could have disappeared. But now they've grown deep roots today. And Ephesians speaks into that. 4:26. Are you there with me? On three, let's read the Word of God out loud. It does something when you declare God's Word on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3. "Do not let the sun go down. And do not give..." So it's time to pray, even if it's at midnight. Transparency to the max here. There's been arguments that we've been in, and all we have is just Jesus. Because there's nothing left of the marriage. And we just need to pray. And so I go, "Lord, bless her, even though she doesn't deserve it." No. Things like this. "Jesus, help us in our marriage. We're desperate for you. Help us, Lord, right now." And if God does it for us, He can do it for you. Right, everybody? I wanted to just lead you in something right now. See, information is great. I gave you a couple of things that you can have and walk away with. You can do these things. But when you have a heart change, it just one moment in the presence of God is better than 1,000 sermons. A moment ago, "God is my rescue story." That song just does something to me every time I sing it, because I know how lost I was. I know how God rescued me. So it's like my testimony when I'm singing it. I should have wrote it. Amen. And I sing it real good. And every time I sing it, God just does something in my heart as the worship team leads us today. So one moment in the presence of God is more than 1,000 worship songs even, right? Because God will meet me right where I'm at today. Amen. And so I asked Alex Copeland to help me in the first service. I said, "Hey, Alex, I need some rocks." And he brought me, I said, And I didn't think it would be this big, but he brought me a rock, amen. He's an overachiever. He's a blessing today, amen, yeah. And so over and over in the Bible, there are points, especially in the Old Testament law, that says if somebody does you wrong, you can throw rocks at them. The law says you committed adultery at the feet of Jesus. They threw her down. Now who'll cast the first stone? And I'm so glad that Jesus was merciful and said, you know what? I'm not going to throw rocks at you either. Each of them dropped the stone. You know about the law. And so laws were put in place that if somebody did you wrong, you could have your vengeance on them. And Jesus came along and he fulfilled the law. And so in the Old Testament, you can have and you can hold on to rocks. But I want you to have a different purpose today about the rocks that you have in your hand, about the wrongs that have been done to you today. And Ecclesiastes 3, are you there with me? 1 and 5 on the screen. It's there. And some of you will recognize this song from the 60s. The Birds sang it. And it's a turn, turn, turn. It's a great song, right? And here it goes. You're going to kind of be able to sing it. You thought, well, they made it up. No, they got it from the wisest man that ever lived, Ecclesiastes, Solomon. And there is a time for everything, a season of every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die. Then something happens in verse 5 that's kind of interesting. Like it doesn't belong there, but it does belong there. There's a time to scatter stones, and there's a time to gather them. And the scattering brings hurt, pain, because rocks hurt when they hit you. Rocks hurt you when you release them. But then there's a time to gather stones. And what did he mean by that? That you would build an altar, and instead of throwing stones, that you would bring them in, and that you would make it a place of worship, even with your enemy. There's no greater example of that than Jacob's life. Jacob was this man that was named after what he did even in the wound as a trickster, a deceiver. And Jacob sees a girl one day, and he wants to marry her real bad. Her name's Rachel. She's a beautiful Jewish girl. And he goes to the father, his Old Testament principal, and he goes, he said, Laban, I want to marry that girl, your daughter. And he goes, okay, work 7 years for me. And probably 7 years for somebody that's in love maybe seemed a long time. I can't wait to get married. But maybe when you're really in love, it seems just like it's one day. And so he works for Rachel. And on the wedding night, the veil's covered, and you know, they're doing the Jewish ceremony, and nobody knows that on the wedding honeymoon day, when the morning happens and the makeup's off, it's not Rachel. It's the oldest sister named Leah. And he goes, it's Leah in the morning. You know, he sees her. So he goes and finds Laban, and he goes, Laban, why did you trick me that way? Father-in-law says, you know what? The oldest daughter always needs to get married first. You didn't know that? He goes, no, but I didn't work for her. He said, well, if you want, Rachel still works 7 more years. Yeah, what a great swagger, right? What a great father-in-law. And the thought is he ends up working like 20 years. Yeah, tricks him. 10 years in the span, Laban comes at him and he says, I'm going to pay you this wage during that relationship. And when he comes up for the paycheck, it's a little bit less. Hey, man, what's wrong? You're supposed to pay me that? He goes, okay, I'll make it up next. You ever have a boss like that? Nobody, don't raise your hand right now, right? 10 times he does that. So there's all these broken promises that he has within his family. See, there's nothing that you won't go through that the Bible already hasn't shown you how to react. Do you understand that today? You think your family's messed up? You ought to read some of the Bible mess ups. And so after, like, you know, these years, you know, he does get Rachel's hand and he's living under that oppression with his father-in-law. He says, you know what? I'm going to leave at midnight. I'm going to take my wives, my stuff, and we're going to get out of here and flee from this oppressionness. And we don't need this. We're going to move away. So he leaves. I don't know what happened, but in the Bible, it's true. But Laban didn't know this for like 3 days later. I don't know where he was. 3 days later, he discovers that the daughters are gone. Jacob's gone, working cheap wages. And he goes after him. Laban was going to hunt him down to find him and have a rock in his hand to do what he's supposed to do. And that night, right before he finds Jacob, the Lord visits Laban in a dream. He visits him and he speaks to him. And he says, I warn you, the Bible says, do not hurt Jacob. Do not leave Jacob alone. He tells them that in my language. And this is what happens next after Laban hears, the father-in-law hears. In Genesis chapter 31, verse 44, right there. Come now, let us make a covenant. In other words, not a contract, but let's do something before God right now. Like you would in a marriage covenant, like you would in a friendship. Yeah, you and I, let it serve as a witness between us. Heaven and earth is here right now. And so Jacob took the stone and set up a pillar. And he gathered his relatives and he said, guys, gather the stones that we had ready to fight back, that we were going to throw back. And Laban, bring the stones. And they gathered a stone, the stones, and they made a pile. The Bible says instead of hurting, that they, and so they took the stones and piled them in a heap. And they ate there at the heap. They sealed it with a meal. And what that means is no one wants to eat with an enemy because it gives you acid or indigestion. It messes you. Now, who wants to eat with somebody they don't like? Now, you want to eat with people that you love, right? You want to break bread. Jesus broke bread with his disciples and made a covenant with them at the Lord's Supper. And a meal sealed it there. I think it's so important that instead of throwing a rock today, I want you to have something in your heart that you would not only put the rock down, but you would make an altar, and that you would build an altar at that place of hurt and pain, but you would lay the rock down in our relationships, and we'd say, that's not going to happen anymore. I'm not going to repay evil for evil. I'm not going to throw a rock back. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to build an altar, and I'm going to heal instead of hurt right now anymore today. It's in your head today, because I've told you, but I want it to come to your heart today as your shepherd today. Amen? Promises are broken. And how do we heal? We heal in relationships. So I'm going to give you three principles right now, quickly. And they're from this story. You need to acknowledge. Somebody say, acknowledge my own mistakes.
Acknowledge my own mistakes.
Because you know what? You got a rock in the pile, just like I do. Everybody has an issue. You get this? You got your issue? I got my issue. And we all have a rock. My name's on that rock. And there it is. There are two realities in marriage. And the reality is this. You're married to an imperfect person.
Right.
And you are that person.
Right.
Romans chapter 23:23, the famous scripture. We witness with this. Somebody say, for all.
For all.
That's the person next to you. That's the guy on the stage, the chief sinner. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We acknowledge our own mistakes, and when you do that, when you say, you know what, every conflict I've been in, everything that I've been in, shouting match, there's something that's common. I'm there. And when you realize that you have some stink, amen, you find freedom. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
So the second thought, abandon my rights to get even. I got to put the rock down. Drop the rock. Drop the rock. Amen. I'm going to... drop the rock, amen. I got to abandon. That's not fair. You don't know what they did to me. That's not fair. If God was, God's not fair. Because if God was fair, you would pay for your own sins.
Right.
I am so glad that God is not fair.
Because
those nails would hurt. Here's what I would, I'd be saying, y'all, anyway, in the context of social media, when you post, amen. Because some of y'all have enemies on Facebook. Let's be honest.
Yep.
Right now, you're in church. Some of y'all, you keep them. Maybe they unfriended you and you found out about it later. But you know what? Maybe there's still somebody that you just don't like or you get angry with or you just don't put. And so you know what the beginning is maybe? Just to be reliant, you like their post when it's not selfish, not full of the devil. Give me a good amen. And maybe the next thing that you do, if you can warm up, if God really begins to work in your heart, you put a blessing on there, like, God bless you, or happy birthday, finally, because I haven't wished you birthday in 20 years or whatever. And you know what? You really want to get God? Go start a GoFundMe account for them. That'll freak them out, right? They need money. Amen. Maybe go start a... maybe send them a card, the rest of us that aren't on social media so much, maybe, and send them a card, a gift card. And love on them. It's the beginning of healing. You bless people. Abandon your rights to get even. Because the Bible speaks of that in our 21st century on how you would do the Bible in this era right now, because it said, you know what, when somebody's hungry, your enemy, you feed them. You give them the supersized fries, amen? You bless them with the very best. So it continues with Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for what? Because God's in charge. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, saith the Lord. Papa's going to take care of it. Papa God is going to take care of it. I'm going to leave it in his hands. It's not fair, but I'm going to leave it in God's hands. You don't need to post about it. You need to say, I didn't know you were going to show up. I just write them the way God gives them to me. So I don't know why you were coming today, but you're hearing God's word, right, everybody? The final point is this. Apply God's grace to others. God's grace is not fair. Favor is not fair. That's why it's called amazing grace. Amen. When we tell each other that we love each other in this church, or we tell our spouses that we love each other, our children that we love each other. One mama says, I love to tell my children I love them, but what's beautiful is when they tell me that they love me back. Because that completes you when someone tells you, you tell your spouse, that I love you too, I love you more, I love you. Amen. What I'm amazed by is the grace of God on how much he knows I've done wrong, and how much the skeletons are in the closet, on all the stuff, that God still loves me. God forgets about my sin, but he still knows what I've done wrong. And he still allows me to preach. Isn't that amazing? That God loves me that much? God still loves you no matter what you've done. He still allows you, that he still says, I love you, and he completes you. In 1 John 4:19, we love because he first. He's the first one. He was the first to love us. He loved even before he loved you first. Nobody loved you like has loved you like Jesus has loved you. This story, and I conclude, I promise. There's a girl that is in Bible college, and her name is Sally. And the Bible college teacher was always able to do these illustrations and bring his point across. And she didn't like his way of teaching, but she had to get through that class to get the credit for her degree. Y'all have had teachers like that. And so this day she walks into the class and there's this big bullseye target at the front of the class. And, you know, it's kind of made of paper and so forth. And he says, class, 30 of them, he says, I want you to draw somebody right now that you don't like, that you're angry with, somebody that has hurt you, and somebody that you can really just have revenge against. I want you to draw their picture as much as you can. So they had easels, drawing markers, and she begins to draw. Well, the person next to her, her best friend, she draws this girl that stole her boyfriend. She puts the pimples on there and everything, man. Puts everything, color of her hair, she paints it. The person next to him is a guy, and he gets a little bit more deeper. He draws his younger brother that's hurt him. She draws the Bible college teacher. Man, she's trying to be funny, but she doesn't like him, so she's drawing him and getting ready to, you know. So after they're finished, she says, time's up. She says, I want you to put those bullseyes on the target. And you got these rocks in your hands, and you're going to be able to throw them as hard as you can. And some of them, it's kind of funny, they start throwing the rocks at those papers of the people's faces that they hate or that annoyed them or they don't have. And it's like tearing through the paper. That's how hard they're throwing them. And they're throwing. He says, I give you the right to throw them as hard as you can. He throws it. You know? And so it starts disintegrating everything, even that target behind the target that's in there. And it's like it's too much. And so right before they get to Sally, that one that drew the picture of the guy, a professor, Bible college, he said, you know, we got to stop. He says, I want to prove a point to you. So behind that bullseye, that target, is a picture of Jesus, the portrait of Jesus. And there's nothing really left of Jesus' face. His eyes are caved in because of the rocks. His cheekbones are caved in on the painting. It's just like a mess just because of the rocks hitting that. And the Bible college, everybody's like this, in the Bible college, you know, class, like, what? And the Bible college professor says this. He says, in so much as you've done it to the least of these of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Jesus said those words. And today, I'm not calling you to hold the rock in your hand. I'm calling you to drop it and to build an altar. And at that point of altar, you'll find healing for your life today from all the hurt. And if you're going to throw the rock, you're going to get hurt again. And it's time you lived long enough that you keep getting hurt. Would you let the rock go? Drop it today. Do you receive God's word today? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, to God be the glory. We thank God for His word. Let's applaud the word of God today. It tells us how to live. Lord, we lift up Your word. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. We're honored, God, that You give us a testament to read, God, today, and how to live life. Let's pray together. This is a holy moment. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Our musicians, you can come. We need to finish as soon as possible. But other than that, let's not try to move around. Father, I thank You for Your faithfulness upon the people of God. We're here on a Sunday morning, Lord, and they're faithful, God. They're listening to You. They've been equipped on how to do life today. Those that are watching on Facebook, God, You're speaking to them. Father, You know private pain. You made us, Lord. And relationships that have hurt, Lord, instead of healing right now, I pray right now that we would do what we're supposed to do. There's courage right now in that man of God in this room to build an altar. There's courage in that woman of God right now to build an altar. Instead of she's gathering stones, Lord, to build an altar. She's not gathering stones to throw them anymore. That boss that needs you to gather stones to pray for him, he's right now on your face. Any relationship right now, it's in your heart. Right? The marriage, God. And you see the rock right now in your hand as I take you to this point. A prayer right now, and you're not going to throw it. You're going to build an altar. You're going to build an altar. You're not going to throw the rock anymore. Now, thank You, God. We're surprised by Your favor. We're surprised by the release. If we're really doing this, God, we're released of that offense right now. We get set free, and it feels good, God, to be free. It feels good to be set free. Thank You, Lord. We're not going to walk in that bondage anymore. Protect us now, Lord, from bitterness and resentment for the coming days. There'll be some broken promises. We want to bless relationships. We want to grow healthier. We want to grow stronger. So You make a covenant towards You to never walk away. Fill our relationships with peace and joy right now in this room. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. You're in this room today as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, no one looking around. And this is where we build an altar. The most important relationship that you'll ever have on this earth is a relationship with God the Father, your Heavenly Father. And Jesus made a way that you could come back to the family, that you could be part of His family. See, He paid for your sins. All the rocks that you had in the pile, all those issues, all those sins, there's names on those and they have your name. The cross is an altar. The cross of Jesus dying up for your sins is the altar. Right now, and you're in this place, you want to say yes to Christ. You're far away from Him. Today, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to see that your hand's lifted slightly. If that's you, lift your hand slightly and say yes to the Lord. I'll pray for you. Right where you're at will be your altar. You'll pray right where you're at. If that's you, would you lift your hand? You're far away from God. You're not near God. You never said yes to Jesus. God bless you. I see your hand. You can put it down, my sister. Somebody else? Making sure. Making sure. Just making sure. This is your day of favor. My one sister, not going to embarrass her. The two, amen. Not going to embarrass either one of you today. You're my sister. Repentance happens long before the altar call. You're already my sister. We pray this prayer together as the family of God. We pray this prayer together as the people of God. Let's pray this prayer, all the people right now. Those that lifted your hand, the two of you, pray it with me out loud. Loud enough that you can hear it. Heavenly Father. Come on now. Heavenly Father. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. I have a new beginning. The blood of Jesus washes away all my sins and makes me new. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You've never gave up on me, Jesus. Thank You. At this very moment, the Spirit of God is speaking to you today. He's not going to give up on you today. Amen. He's going to be relentless to you. He's never going to divorce you. He won't use the D word in the relationship. He will never give up on you today. Father, we're going to choose to be faithful to You. Yeah, yeah, Jesus. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you His peace. Amen. an amen today. Amen. Irma, I want to call you up here, honey, with me just to make this announcement. Will you show me that final slide? I just want you to stand with me. There's faith that we believed in. Sorry about my hands being cold. Amen. She's warm and I'm cold. Amen. Amen. That's good. Several seasons ago, because we've had such outstanding youth pastors at this church, beginning with the tradition of Alex and Lisa Copeland, and then after them, on their footsteps or heels, were Gabe and Christina Martinez, exceptional people. I paused and waited to bring a youth pastor or a youth minister to the church for a lot of reasons. I'm not going to beat myself over it. God has a way of even redeeming time, if you've noticed that. Like, what was in the past, God even made it sweet. So I don't know what will happen, but I do know this, that as of this moment, we need to go forward in reaching young people for Jesus. Amen. And so I'm going to gather with people that want to work with me to raise up a youth ministry that will be exceptional, that will love our community, that will love the young people within this church and love the people outside the walls also, because that's what sort of church we are. Amen. And so I'm asking you today, this is a commission call to you. If you want to reach young people with me, just tell me. Talk to Irma and I. Say, I'm interested. I want to do what God's telling me to do. You might say, well, I'm not young anymore. And I'm not. We're not. Amen. It's not cool to think you're cool when you're 50. It's just not. You know what young people want? What I've discovered in ministering to them through the years, first as a youth pastor many years ago, and now as an older man, that young people just want sincerity. They want that above being cool. And if you're sincere, and if you love people like we do at Living Faith Church, we'll reach many young people because we're real. Amen. No matter what age. I'm going to pull one person out of the congregation to give an example. See, Helen Scholl is this lady that's a senior adult now. But you know how she reaches young people? She doesn't preach to them. She could. She cooks. Every quarter, she feeds like 400 to 500 young people. And we all work with her. But she's behind all that because she wants to reach young people. So everyone really in the room, we ought to be a church that specializes. Our value is to reach children, the next generation, and young people for Jesus. As much as you have a calling maybe to do this or that, but we continue to, we need to bring this back today. And I'm bringing it back. Amen. We'll launch a youth service March the 8th. We'll do that together as people, as a group of people, because it's going to take everybody. But I want you to have the buy-in today with me as we walk together. Do you want to add anything? No, you're good. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Thank you, Father. Touch the people of the Lord. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you His peace. There's a connect card in front of you. If you receive Jesus, please fill that out. There's redemption. We love those cards. Irma and I pray for those cards every week. And also, growing in faith happens at 9 a.m. If you raise your hand, be part of that. Diane Ruiz will be at the welcome table, and she'll give you information about the Growing in Faith class. Amen? Amen? Bless the Lord. We're going to receive the tithe and offering. Amen? Go ahead and bless the Lord with me. Amen? Receive the tithe and offering. There are several ways that you give. Lawrence, would you come up? I promised Lawrence that he could pray for the tithe and the offering. I haven't seen him in 33 years. Isn't that amazing? But we became friends with the miracle of Facebook. I'm so grateful for the man. He journeyed. I told him in prayer, I said, man, you made my day. You went out of your way to come see me today. He has business going on here in San Antonio until tonight, but he made a way to come, and I'm just so blessed because of that. Would you share with the people just a little bit and just pray for the tithe and the offering of our church?
Hi.
Hello.
I know Mario since 1985. I'm from the Navajo Reservation. I'm a full-blooded Navajo Indian. And I met Mario at the line when you go in Christwood Nation. We all were in this big building called the GLT. And every time we ate, you get in line and you go around and around and around before you get to your food, and you talk to people and you meet. And that's how we met a lot of people through the line. Say, hey, where are you from? And that's how we met. And but it's good to see him. It's good to see how the Lord sees him, how the Lord is ministering through him and all that. And he's a blessing. And I know he's chosen from God. And we need to pray for our pastors. We need to stand behind them. And they know more through a lot than you. And we need to support them. We need to always pray for them and lift them up. I just want to pray before the offering. But before that, I want to share one scripture from, I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit put it in my heart. And 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, we are the righteousness of God. If you're a child of God, if you receive Jesus in your heart, you are the righteousness of God. When you look, and the Bible says, when you look into the mirror, you know, he's talking about us, the righteousness of God. You should be seeing the righteousness of God, not the old man. The old man has done away. Remember this. The old man has done away. Behold, all things become new. We are restored every day. Every day, the past is over. Don't live by the past. Don't live by the past. It's over. It's over. Get this in your head. You are the righteousness of God. That's why the Bible says examine yourself. It didn't say examine your brothers, your sister over here. Because you can judge them and you can say things about them. You can tell, make up stuff, whatever. That's not your business. That's why the Bible says examine yourself, because you cannot lie to yourself. You might be hiding your sins. You might be hiding things in your heart. When you look into that mirror, you cannot lie to yourself. You know where you are. And when you have Christ in your heart, those things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You are the righteousness of God. As we give in the Old Testament, and Malachi talks about, God says, prove me. That was the Old Testament. That was the Old Testament. God says, prove me. Why? Because there was not Christ back there. Yeah. We are in the New Testament. Jesus lives in our heart. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, it says. Because when we come to God, we must believe. Everything you do in life here, serving God, you accept Jesus, you accept God into your heart. You didn't see him come. It was by faith. Right now, when you give, you should be given faithfully. Say, God, I know who I serve. You're the one that says that you're the strong tower and the righteous run to you. All the promise in your word. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This is the righteousness of God, the child of God. So when you give, you should give from your heart joyfully. Why? Because we're given to God. We're given to the storehouse. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name.
Yes,
Lord, the word that went forth here, as my brother Mario has spoken all your word, Father, the word that has gone forth, Father, you say it will not return void, but it will accomplish much to where you sent it, Father. Father, we know we have an enemy, Satan. We know he come to steal, kill, and destroy. Father, we know that we cannot fight him with our flesh, but we need to fight him with our spiritual man. This is why we call on you, Lord. This is why we serve you. This is why we are the righteousness of God, because you are the one that's doing our battle. Father, I pray as people give, Father, to you, Father, I pray that they will look at you with a joyful heart, giving to you, Father, what belongs to you, Father. I pray that you will bless them, Father. Bless them in their marriage. Bless them as they go in and out of your presence, Father. As they go to work, as they come home, Father, I pray that you will bless them according will I make a pillar in your temple, of our God. You will write upon them the name of our God, the name of the saints.
Yes.
Father, all the promises that is in your word is for us, Lord. All we have to receive, all we have to do is receive it, Father. We are the righteousness of God. Father, I pray that you will bless this congregation, Father.
Yes.
Bless this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
A moment ago, Lawrence prayed for me. I just feel with such gratefulness when we were at the altar. And then I prayed for him, then he prayed for me. Boy, when he prayed for me, if you have a need in your life, he's my brother. He'll pray for you at the end of our service. He'll be at the front. Let him agree with you. Amen. In the name of Jesus, for your miracle. Amen. We'll stand to our feet. Let's worship God in our giving. Thank God for the generosity in your hearts today.